What is it that's that foundational thing in their life? And he gives us a few key words. Faith is the substance. That word substance that we have there is that foundational concept. Faith is a foundation. It's a substance that allows us to build other things in our life. Look at the next word. It says it's the evidence of things not seen. Interestingly, the word evidence is the same word that we find in the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. Some of you know that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof is the word there, of evidence. It's like standing up in a court type of a situation that's being proven a certain way. And so that faith is that thing that first of all has foundation, it's got evidence, and look at verse 2, and for by the elders obtained, the word obtained is that word where we get the idea of martyr from. Some of you have read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Not something that you just want to read for, you know, it details individuals who are willing to die for their faith, what they believed in. And some of us might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't think I could die for my faith. I don't think that I have that kind of faith that I'm willing to die for. What kind of faith did they have? That word martyr is that same word witness, one who would stand up for something in testimony. But by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then third verse, by faith we understand. The word understanding here involves the exercising of the mind. That's basically what it means, understand, exercising of the mind. Yesterday I had too much of exercising of the body. I was introduced to a new game. I don't know if you've played this game or not. It's called floor hockey. It's kind of like ice hockey, only you don't have ice. You don't have a puck. But you have a tennis ball that bounces around and such. But you still have the hockey sticks. And the goal was to get the ball into the net. And I was running around with all these teenagers, trying to keep up with them and play. And today, I am experiencing the benefits of exercising the body. That's why I can barely move. Sometimes we do that with our minds. When we get done thinking through something and working it over, we have a brain strain, right? Where it's been something that we've worked over and mulled over and such that, and in a sense, when we think about this element of faith, it's not just something that is a feelings-oriented situation. It's something that involves an exercise of the mind, a purposeful thinking, a purposeful working of the mind. It's not just something that's a pie-in-the-sky kind of thing. It's something that is thought through and understood. So it's not something that's mystical. It's not something that is unbelievable. It's something that's determined to be exercised in the mind, something that allows us to be able to be a witness with it, something that reproves, something that is foundational. That's our backdrop is what faith is. Faith is not just something that's whatever. It's something very concrete, foundational, involves the exercising of the mind. Let's look at faith being analyzed in a particular area. Many of you, if not all of you, have stated that you have a faith in Jesus Christ, that you have believed on Jesus Christ, the one who has died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says each individual who does that becomes a child of God, that it's a process of belief in what Jesus has done, realizing it has nothing to do with what we have done. It has nothing to do with how good I am. It has nothing to do with any kind of activity I've been involved with. No sacrament, no nothing. The Bible says all of sin falls short of the glory of God. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy He saved me. The Bible tells me that I can be saved through faith in what Jesus Christ has done. The book of 1 John is written to believers. to show us how faith is displayed, because it's not just an element of something that is maintained inside of here. The book of James, if you would read the book of James reminds us that faith is something that is seen in the lives of people. That people can tell how much faith you have, not by what you say, but more by what you do. And here we have in 1 John some things that helps reinforce in the life of the believer so that they might know that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our faith in Christ is evident by our responses to certain things. Our faith is not a private thing. Our faith is something that is put inside of us and developed so that it can be known to other people. Our faith is reflected. When Christ says that we are lights, that we are reflecting what He is, that faith is to be shown outside of that personal element. There is nothing in Scripture that talks about a faith in God that doesn't play out in some kind of activity that other people see. A faith in God is designed to where when we believe it, other people will recognize it so that it can be passed on and passed on and passed on. It's not designed to be something that's something I can catch, I get, I keep, I hide. It's something that I get. And just like the cold that's been going around, I get, and with the idea of somebody else will catch it from me. And we don't like it that way, but that's what happens. You get a cold, you get it from some other loving, dear person that gave it to you. The question is that in the case of having a cold, it's very evident that we're contagious when we're coughing and sneezing, all that type of thing, running a fever. But as a Christian, as one who has the faith, the question is, how contagious are we to where people will catch what we have? Is our faith being evident in our lives? In the Epistle of John, 1 John, we'll be looking at several verses out of that passage. It says that it was written primarily to let us know. Individuals I've talked with at different times wrestle with whether or not they can know they have a relationship with God, whether or not they can know they have eternal life, whether or not they can know they have the right faith. And the Epistle of John, 1 John, is written so that we might know, so that we as believers might know. And I think it's very fitting to realize that something that was written nearly 2,000 years ago to believers that were just shortly after the time when Christ walked this earth, died, and rose, and ascended into heaven, there were individuals that still wondered, can I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Now it was that close, so it's only makes sense that this many years later, there would be individuals that, even after reading the Scriptures, may wonder, can I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Can I know for sure that I'm going to spend eternity with God? And that's what 1 John is all about. But in the process of reading through 1 John, you will pick up some things that become indicators of what our faith is. Doesn't mean these are the things that provide our faith. Our faith is based upon what we believe in the Scriptures and we accept. But we can get an indicator of how real that faith is in our life by these five indicators we're going to talk about today. So let's look at the first one, is our response to Jesus' name. As I stated earlier, we can tell what our faith is like by what kind of responses we have to certain things. And the first is, what is the response to the name of Jesus? 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. One of the things that God anticipates that when He has left the opportunity for us to accept Jesus as our personal Savior is He has an intention for us to not only accept that, but the Bible says that we confess it. That we confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That it becomes from our lips that we truly believe that's who He is. That we're willing to say that to other people. When we have an evidence of faith in our life that Jesus is our personal Savior, we're willing to say to other individuals, yes, I believe Jesus is my personal Savior. Yes, I believe that He is the one who died on the cross for my sins. He is the one who is important to my life. And the importance of this is that when we believe in something, we tend to talk about it in belief. And when we're not sure about something, we tend not to want to verbalize about it. There's different times when my kids might ask me a question about something, whether it's Bible related or not, and I go to give an answer, and then I kind of don't really give an answer because I'm not sure what to say, because I'm really not convinced as to what I should say. And I find sometimes that's the case for individuals who are on the track to have a relationship with God, but when asked pretty pointed questions about their relationship with Christ, they don't know for sure what to say because there's not that confidence of realizing, yes, I can say I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ and He is my personal Savior. It's a difference in saying Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lord. It's one thing to say it that way, and it's another way to say Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Because the first is just making a statement. The latter is making a confession of a conviction that's in my heart. And so one of the signs that you have a genuine faith in Christ, that you have placed your faith in Him, is that you will be willing to say, if someone was to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And encouragement is our faith will be evident in our confession. We will talk about this relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And one of the things that will happen is the more we dwell upon that, is we'll not only respond when people ask us about it, we'll be more apt to talk with other people with a desire that they too might have that faith as well. Faith, question is, what is our faith in? Is our faith in our reputation or is our faith in Jesus? One of the reasons that we may choose not to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ is our fear of what that might mean to other individuals. If they found out that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they might think I'm a religious fanatic or whatever. And when we have a tendency of not wanting to say, I am a child of God, I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, what our faith in that situation is to believe my reputation is more important than Jesus at that particular situation. That what people know about me outside of Jesus is more important than what people know about me with Jesus. So a person has as much faith, but the question is what the faith is in. Is the faith in preserving a particular reputation, or is a faith in what Jesus can do when we decide to confess Him before others? A second response would be the response to God's Word. The Bible goes on to say this, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. One of the obvious things that will be evident of our faith is not only the fact that we will be willing to say, yes, I am a believer, I have trusted in Jesus Christ. The other is our faith will be evident in our obedience. Our willingness to trust Him as our Savior also means to trust Him as one who is going to provide direction for our lives. Jesus, in talking with His disciples, He says, you are my friends. You are ones that show your love for me by your willingness to be obedient to me. And we know that we have faith. We know that we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. For when we see the Word of God, and the Word of God says we should do such and such or not do such and such, our decision then is, I must do what the Word of God says. Then we see that we have a genuine faith relationship with God, because our goal then is not to have our way, but to have God's way. Our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior then becomes evident by our desire. Doesn't mean we'll be consistently always perfect at it, but our desire would be, I want to do what God's will is. I want to be obedient to Him. An individual says, I want Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want any of His rules in my life. I want Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want to change some sin patterns out of my life. Or, I want Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want to have to read the Bible and do what God says. Doesn't understand what the Bible says concerning faith. Faith means I believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior who has saved me from sin, not to continue in sin. That I'm placing my faith in Jesus Christ so that I can have the freedom to obey Him. The Bible says that before Jesus Christ comes in our life, we don't even have that option yet. That it's when we place our faith in Christ, now we have the opportunity to truly obey Him and be willing to follow Him. So the question is, do we have more faith in our way and what we think is right, or do we have more faith in what God says? A third response is that response to the world. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The passage goes on to explain that what the world offers is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the world has that message going 24/7. They're constantly telling you, you've got to have things, you've got to have pride, you've got to have money, you've got to have enjoyment, you've got to have entertainment, you've got to have all these various things. These are the important things. Make sure you're somebody. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. All these various things are becoming a worldview that says you are the most important thing. You, in a sense, are the God that you need to take care of. That's the worldview. And the Bible says if we love that type of thing, the love of the Father is not in Him. Our faith will be evident in what our devotion is, as we summarize that one. It's not only in what we are willing to confess, as far as Jesus being our Savior. It's not only in regard to who we're willing to obey, our will or God's, but also in our very devotion. What is important to me? What is important? Is it important to me to be more like the world or to be more like God? Is it important to me that if it comes down to a question of whether I do a certain activity or do a certain thing or what, is it more important to me because this is what the world's message is, or is it because this is what God's message is? And so there we have a question. If the faith is true and genuine, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible is telling us that we should have a desire to do things that's going to please Him, do things that are not dedicated toward doing things to please the world, but instead dedicated to please God. Not dedicated to feed our flesh and help us to have desires of the flesh, but instead be things that please God. Not to bring pride of life, not to cause us to have great desires for things and make things our God. The fourth item is our response to sin. 1 John goes on to say this in chapter 3 in three different areas. It says, but we know that when He is revealed, talking about Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is talking about the time that right now we are not like Christ. If you were to try to compare, here's where Jesus Christ is on the scale. We're like, well, I can't even get far enough away. Okay? We're not like Him. Our goal is to become like Him. Our goal is to read the Scriptures, obey the Scriptures, and find out what it says, and slowly inch our way to become like Him. But the Bible says that there's going to be a time when we will make that quantum leap from what we are right now to be like Him. And that's when He comes back for us, and we're going to be able to spend eternity with Him, and He'll give us a new body, and He'll change over the whole thing of our sin response, etc., and we'll be able to be like Jesus Christ. But right now, we don't have that option to be exactly like Him. But we do have the option to become like Him by changing out our worldly habits, our fleshly habits, and replacing them with ones that are more like Christ. But He says here, though, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. If we have the hope that one day we'll be like Him, and it's not going to be done on a work on our own, it would be the desire then of our heart to seek while we have this opportunity on earth to do all we can to purify ourselves. I don't know how best to illustrate that, but I guess it's kind of like the idea of I know I'm going to get something brand new, but while I've got this old thing, I want to get it as clean as I can. I want to shine it up. I want to, and I want to purify my life as much as I can with what God has given to me. And it might be trying holiness in practice. A desire, if God's going to make me like Jesus Christ, I should desire to do the things while I'm here on earth that will be like unto that. Instead of going the opposite direction. Some people have the idea, well, if I'm going to be holy in heaven, I should be, you know, take advantage of being on earth and not be holy. It's not thinking along the Scriptures. The Scriptures is that we ought to desire to be pure. Look what else He says in that same passage. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now what He's talking about here is that the pattern of sin or the consistency of sin. He's not talking about perfection here. If we've been born of God, it means we don't sin anymore. We'll look at a verse in just a few minutes that will give us evidence of that. Before we do, let's look at the statements that highlight this. Our faith will be evident in our purity, our desire to be like Jesus Christ. Faith in our desires or in God's. And here we start looking at, is my faith in my desire to fulfill the things of my lust, or is it more in desire to be more like God? Do I want to be more like what I want to be, or do I want to be more like what God wants me to be? Here's the passage that tells us that it's not the issue of being sinless, but actually sinning less. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Here the Bible basically talking to Christians again, saying there's going to be times when we sin, and the question is, what do you do about that sin? The Bible says confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so the idea is that when we sin, we seek forgiveness by confessing. And it's not an issue that we're going to eventually become sinless, but as we continue to bring our life closer to God, we will actually sin less. Now, it may seem like we're sinning more. Now, let me just try to explain that. Let's go from this perspective. Okay, again, we're using the illustration. God's over here. I remember back years ago when I first placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I was recognizing I had a whole bunch of habits that I had to change, and God was making it very clear that when I looked at what the Bible said, and I looked at my life, there was a huge difference. Matter of fact, I didn't have to look at the Bible. I just started looking at people that were going to church. I looked at the people going to church and looked at my life, and I said, my life doesn't match up to theirs. And I say, well, I got sin in my life. Okay, so I wanted to change that. Well, shortly after that, I started seeing my life matching up a little more with the other people in the church. Okay, so then you start feeling pretty good about yourself because you're looking like the other people. But as I read the Word of God, I started seeing sins that I didn't realize I had. Sins of pride, sins of discontentment, sins of worry, sins of covetousness, sins of things that I didn't worry about back here because I was just worried about cleaning up my language, stopping certain habits and things along that line. And it's interesting, as we get closer to God, it's like getting turning on a brighter light. You can start seeing the imperfections more. And the closer you get to the Word of God, you'll recognize more areas that you can improve upon. But the reality is, even though it may seem like you keep on finding more sins, the reality is you are actually sinning less, even though you're more sensitive to sin. Because you've learned to take care of this sin habit here, wherein you used to be, where this sin controlled your life, now you set that aside. God brings to your attention another area of sin. You start working on that, and you set that aside, and you have victory in that. And you just keep on working your way through, and we'll be doing that until we go on to glory. That will be dependent upon God to help us see. As one person has said, it starts out like when you first are exposed to God and God's Word, it seems like there's huge boulders in your life. Huge boulders of sin that you take up and you pull out and you get rid of them. And then as you get further along in your relationship with Christ, and it's only true if you're studying and growing, okay? This isn't automatic. If you're not in the Word of God, studying and growing and saying, God, help me understand from your Word the things that you change, you're not going to see this process, okay? This process is basically as if you are constantly in the Word of God, you'll see it this way. You start out with the boulders, and the next thing you know, oh, wow, now there's a bunch of rocks. Not as big as the issues I had back there, but there seems like there's more of them. And then the next thing I know, I'm working with smaller rocks. And then you get down to the pebbles. And your goal is to realize, as you continue to grow and be like Christ, is that it's so neat to see how much we can become more like Him. It's more like a refining type thing. You take something that starts out really rough, your whole goal is to use the real rough sandpaper. And as you get, then you start using finer sandpaper and finer not. And that's the same way with us. As God is trying to hone us and make us a reflection of Jesus Christ, He might start out with some pretty rough sandpaper and take care of some big issues in our life, but as we go along, He'll continue to work at taking care of the smaller grit things in our lives. And so the idea is that we don't get sinless, but we do start to sin less. And we do start to see where God is working in specific areas of our life. But the question is this. What about the passage where it says, we know that whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. What is that saying to us? We know that we're going to sin, but what does it mean to us? From what I understand, it's talking about my desire to have either victory over sin or sin to have victory over me. Sin has patterns. And we can either choose to give in to those sin patterns and allow them to continue to work over our life, or we can have a remorse over that sin and desire to work out of it. I believe what he's talking about here is the individual who is, when we have faith in God, it will be a desire to be sensitive to sin and want to repent of that sin and want to change that sin. May not mean you'll have complete victory over that sin immediately, because the whole process of growing, become like Christ is a process. It takes time. But it's the hard attitude of, do I allow the sin to dominate my life? Have I allowed myself to give in to that sin? Have I decided to say, I don't care if this is sin, I'm going to continue to do it, regardless of what God says? I believe that we're at a point where that is our attitude, this is my sin, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I have to check to see if my faith is genuinely in Jesus Christ, or if my faith is in something else. Is it my faith in my desires and me being happy, or is my faith in pleasing God? The fifth response kind of deals with how we respond to other people. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 14. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. One of the things that helps us understand our faith is how we respond to other individuals. And this is why it's very, very important for us to recognize that faith is not based upon just something internal. It's something that is external. And how I respond to other individuals. And when I get to the point where I don't love other people, then it's a question of whether I really understand a faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith will be evident in our love for others. And so the question, what I understand love, is not love is not so much whether I enjoy other people, okay, from the Scripture's perspective. Love is not how much I enjoy them. Love is how much I give to them. When the Bible talks about loving one another, it's about what I'm willing to sacrifice on behalf of other people. I'm not saying that you ought not to go out to enjoy other people, but what I'm saying is we are given the responsibility of loving people regardless of whether we enjoy or not. faith, then is it in the fulfillment of our needs or in the fulfillment of other people's needs? So when I look at my faith in Jesus Christ, and I look at these five different things, and I'm trying to wonder, do I have faith in Christ? Do I have faith in Christ? Do I have a desire to be associated with His name? Do I have a desire to be obedient to Him? Do I have a desire to forsake the things of the world and desire to cling to Him? Do I have a desire to be pure? And do I have a desire to love other people? Those are things that as 1 John goes through and he says, these things you'll see as evidence in your life. Now, it is not loving people. It is not keeping commandments. It is not running away from the world. It is not. Those are not the things that develop our faith. Our faith is believing what Jesus Christ has done. He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again to pay the penalty of your sins. That's the faith. But as you start looking at that faith and you start looking at some evidences to give you confidence that you have been practicing that faith, you'll see these type of things develop in your life. Question, can you see your faith? Can you answer this question? Identify with Jesus as my Savior. I am willing to say, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. Second of all, can I see my faith in the fact that I read God's Word with a desire to obey it? That I read the Word and want to know what it says? I find it difficult to believe that an individual wants to have a personal relationship with God but does not want to have a personal involvement with the Word of God that expresses who he is and a desire to do what it says. Thirdly, I have walked away from worldly ideas. I have chosen instead to go and do things God's way. Fourthly, I am grieved by my sin and am breaking sin patterns. My sin bothers me. And I think that's a key thing of recognizing when I am in that process of looking at the Word of God and I see that sin, it should bother me. And fifthly, I spend time and energy on other believers. And other people. That I have a desire to reach out to other individuals. The Epistle of John tells us that when we have a faith in Jesus Christ, it'll work its way out in certain ways. It'll be evident. And it'll be something that we'll desire to do as we continually share our faith, read the Word of God, walk away from worldly ideas, become grieved over sin, confess the sin, try to break sin patterns, and spend time fellowshipping and encouraging other believers. And I trust as you've looked at this passage and we plan to study this issue on faith and look at the life of Abel and look at the life of Abraham and what made these individuals so great in their faith that they should be put in a section that many people have referred to as the Hall of Faith. Start looking at our own lives and saying, how's my faith doing? Have I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And if so, how am I doing at expressing that? How am I doing at showing this faith that I have? Father, as we conclude our time together, we do so with a desire to begin a year depending upon you. And Lord, I pray for each one that is here this morning that most of all they'll decide to put their faith in you and not themselves. That they'll put their faith in you and not some reputation. That they'll put their faith in you and not some worldly ideals. Father, I pray that you'll help us to put our faith in you and have a confidence in our relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.